the Bible does not contradict itself. Amen? There's a singularity about its message. So let's dig deeper. In the Romans chapter 10, verse 13, the word call in Greek is epikaleo. Epikaleo means it's to call on my behalf for a helper, or to ask for help, or to call for a witness. Another definition is to ask for a judge or appeal to a higher court. And it's interesting because we think about Paul and what he was going through. And when he was taken captive by the Romans caused by the Jewish leaders, he appealed to Caesar. And what that meant was that he was putting his whole outcome, he was appealing to Caesar to present his case, and trusting and surrendering his future upon the decision of Caesar. So he appealed to Caesar. The verb found in the phrase to call on the name of the Lord denotes an ongoing action. It's not just a one-time thing. When I call on the name of the Lord, it's not just I call today and I'm done. It is an ongoing. It expresses a faith-based request. I continually call. I appeal. It's a nonstop process. I call on the Lord, and it is a perpetual thing in my life. It's seen as acting on my own interest. So when I am calling upon the Lord, I am calling to Him for me because I need Him, because I cannot live without Him. You see, the definition of the call is not as simple as the English word C-A-L-L. It has a deep, profound, continual, faith-based action to it. On the other hand, when we look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, the word there for say actually means, is the word lego, which basically means to say, to speak, to mention, to tell. This verb denotes a random act, does not require faith. It fails to impart any weight behind what it said or claimed. It's just something I say. And it reminds me of the text in James chapter 2, verse 19. Anybody know what that verse means? It says, you believe that there is one God, right? Everybody here believes there's one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. So on the one hand, we have those who say, Lord, Lord. And on the other hand, we have those who call upon the Lord. Are you beginning to see that the discrepancy here makes sense? Explaining the significance of the word calling, T. Pierce Brown wrote, calling on the Lord involves obedience. It is not a mere verbal recognition of God or a verbal petition to Him. Say, say, tell, tell. Those whom Paul sought to capture in Damascus before his conversion, those Christians who were described as being those who call on the name of the Lord. See how they were described uniquely as those who call on the name of the Lord, were not people who only prayed to God, but who served the Lord and who by their obedience submitted themselves to His authority. The authority mentioned in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. All authority has been given to Jesus Christ. So therefore, because he has all authority, when I call upon the Lord, I say, Lord God, I recognize that you have all authority, all power. I surrender my will, my life, my all to you. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 9. If you could turn with me to that text. It really goes even further to describe, to help us understand this word and what it means. Zephaniah 3, verse 9. It says, then I will purify the lips of the people. Kind of like Daniel. Before Gabriel, remember, he said, I'm a sinner and I dwell among people, a man of unclean lips who dwells among people of unclean lips. Who am I to stand before you? And remember that the angel took the coal and put it in his lip and purified. And so it says, then I will purify the lips of the peoples, that all of them may call on the name of the Lord and serve him in one accord. Notice here the comparison of the call with the word serve. Here Zephaniah links calling with service. So to call on the Lord entails more than just pleading for salvation. Lord Jesus, please save me. It's more than that. It involves submitting to God's will. Now, for you, this is okay. I've known this. I've heard this all my life as a Christian, or as long as I've been a Christian, submit to God's will. That's what it's all about, right? But never in time has it been more important message than today. You see, if we go back to Romans 10 and just go back just a couple of verses from verse 13 to verse 9. So let's turn there now. Romans 10, verse 9. Romans 10, verse 9. Look at what it says here. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, a.k.a. King of your heart, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, what does it say? You will be saved. There it is again. Lord, I surrender. When he is Lord of my life, I surrender not only my sins and my guilt and my shame, but also I surrender my will. I surrender my desires to him. I surrender my dreams and my goals. My whole future is in his hands now. That is not a small thing to do. There are many who call themselves Christians. In fact, when a person submits to the will of God, he can accurately be described as calling on the Lord. As you can see, then, calling on the Lord is a way of life. Did you hear that? Calling on the Lord is not just the one thing. I remember the time when I called on the Lord and, you know, everything was good after that. No. Calling on the Lord is it's a lifetime experience, okay? Is a way of life. A not my will but yours, Lord, state of mind. Let me repeat that again. A not my will but yours state of mind. Ooh. I ask myself this question, and I ask you. Do we have the state of mind? Do we have this state of mind? Anybody heard of a religious cafeteria? It's a new movement, in fact. It denotes a trend where people pick and choose religious beliefs, doctrines, and practices, mixing and matching them much as they would select food in the cafeteria. A prime example of religious cafeteria is the church free spirituality promoted by Oprah Winfrey. A number of publishers refer to the phenomenon as private spirituality. It is also described as spirituality without religion. That said, this eclectic approach is not just popular among non-Christians, but also among people who consider themselves to be Christians. What this is saying is basically, people today are embracing a different kind of Christianity than what the Word says here today. It is a Christianity that says, my will be done. It is a Christianity that says, Christianity based on my terms, on what makes me feel good, on what fits my lifestyle. A lot of people embracing this today. A lot of Christians embracing this today. Do you realize why this message is so important? Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. See, at first, this text was, this is a contradiction. It says, call upon the Lord and you'll be saved. And then Jesus says, and not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will be saved. But then he explains it at the end. If you paid attention carefully, the answer was right there. I didn't even have to go through the last few explanations to describe the comparison and what Jesus was trying to say here, because the last part of this verse explains what he meant by this. He says, but only the one who does what? The will of my Father in heaven. Do you see the line? Hasn't been drawn clearly. All right, so now we've got the message clear. Are we clear with the message? Call upon the Lord, surrender to his will, and what? You will be saved. So let's move on to the next part of this text. Romans chapter 10. Let's go back to Romans chapter 10, verse 14 to 15. Romans chapter 10, verse 14 to 15 says, how then can they call on the one who they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? Do we have a message to say? Yes. Our message is simple. Call on the name of the Lord. Surrender your will to him, and you will be saved. We need messengers. Are there messengers in the house? Amen. Are there messengers in the house? You know the truth. And how beautiful is this truth that has set you free? Yes, you have had to sacrifice. You've had to give up a lot of things. And you continue to do so because it's a lifetime of surrender to God's will, isn't it? But it's a beautiful choice to make. We need to spread this message. Can you help me get the word out? You know, it's interesting when God called Abram, because before God called Abram to follow a journey that he had no idea where it was going to take him. Another example of surrender, total surrender to God's will. Before God called Abraham, he actually called his dad, Terah. Did you know that? God called Terah before he called Abraham. But the thing about Terah is that instead of Abraham, we should have had in the Bible the story of Terah. Terah was the father of the people of Israel. But no, we have Abraham. What happened to Terah? Well, what happened to Terah, God said, leave Ur, leave Babylon, leave the land of confusion into the promised land that I want to take you to. And Terah said, okay, God. And so he did. He packed up everything and he with Abraham, his son, and he left. But guess what? He only made it, I think, to the next town. He got there. I don't know what happened in his heart, but he settled there. And he grew roots there. And although he left Ur, he was still in the land of confusion, and he stayed there. He only went a short distance. Because the journey of faith, the journey of surrendering to God's will, is not easy. So God had to call his son, Abraham. Now, Abraham, we know, is another story. Abraham is the father of faith, yeah? He's a perfect example of faith. No better it's shown than when he was willing to sacrifice his only son. His only son. Is that complete surrender or what? You know, those who receive the message must be willing to hear. So I want to tell you, my friends, don't be discouraged if they fail to listen. We've only been called to share the message. They must be willing to accept the message and believe. Don't be dismayed if they reject it. Don't lose courage. Because if they call on the name of the Lord, they will be saved. So I'm going to ask you, as I also want to ask those outside, are you tired of chasing pretty rainbows? Are you tired of spinning round and round? Wrap up all the shattered dreams of your life and at the feet of Jesus, lay them down. Give them all. Give them all. Give them all to Jesus. Shattered dreams, wounded hearts, and broken toys. Give them all. Give them all. Give them all to Jesus. And he will turn your sorrows into joy. As I invite Pastor John and his music team to sing a song for us, I want you to think about this message. And at the end, I'm going to have a special prayer for all of us. I want to invite you to come forward. We need to pray. We need to ask God to lead us to a complete surrender to him. We are on the countdown of an important event. And we need to surrender to his will so that his will to fill this church with hungry souls for Christ can be fulfilled.
Thank you, Luis. Quite a challenge. But the challenge is next to nothing compared to the reward. And that's, when we think about what God is calling us to do and what the will of God is, I mean, what better thing to do than to share God's love to people around you, people that you love already, you know? Sometimes we wonder if God's going to see us through all of this, if God's going to make it all work, and if people are going to respond. You know, we kind of take it as a personal responsibility to make people Christians. That's not our responsibility, that's God's. But, and we allow fear to stop us. But I want you to understand that God is the great I Am. And that as we draw close to Him, the power of the great I Am is instilled within us, and nothing can stand in His way. Isn't that awesome? I mean, I just think that is so exciting. So as we're preparing for this, event, I don't even want to call it a seminar. It's an event. It's an event of people giving their lives to Jesus Christ. That's awesome. And I want you to get excited about it. Because when you see loved ones coming to Jesus, it transforms the reason why you have faith. So let's go before the great I Am.
sins will shake before you. The demons run in fear at the mention of your name, King of Majesty. There is no power in hell or any who can stand before the power and the presence of the great I Am. 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 Hallelujah. Holy, holy. God Almighty. Great I Am. Who is worthy? None beside thee. God Almighty. Great I Am. Great I Am. Great I Am.
Amen. Amen.